Sir, come to order. Next amendment, I believe, is amendment number 32. The reading clerk will read it in.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 32, section 206, Department of Education.
Senator Coe.
Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 32 to Senate File 1. Members of the Senate, as we've gone through the accountability process out there, we put more and more pressure and more duties onto the State Board of Education. What this amendment does is it appropriates $250,000 out of the School Foundation Program for the biennium to help the Department of Education, not the Department of Education, State Board of Education. That's all it does to help them do their duties, and ask that you support the amendment.
Is there any discussion? Ready for the question? Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
No.
Barnard.
No.
Bebout.
No.
Burns.
No.
Case.
No.
Christensen.
No.
Christensen.
No.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
No.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstader.
No.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Amrick.
No.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
No.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
No.
Hines. Johnson.
No.
Landon.
Aye.
Meyer.
No.
Nicholas.
No.
Nutting excused. Perkins.
No.
Peterson.
No.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Schiffer.
No.
Scott.
Aye.
Von Flatern.
Aye.
President Ross.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 11 ayes, 18 noes, 1 excused.
Amendment number 32 has failed. Next amendment is amendment number 58. The reading clerk will read it.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 58, section 46, Mixed Martial Arts Board.
Senator Anderson.
Mr. President, the Mixed Martial Arts Board needs to make a little adjustment. There's no dollars involved, but there's a problem with the funding. The state pays on a quarterly basis, and the state board uses it on an 8-month period when their events take place. So all they're doing is saying at no time shall the expenditure by the board exceed either appropriated funds or revenues in the mixed martial board account. Oh, I didn't move it. Oh, Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 58 to Senate File 1 and ask for your favorable consideration.
Any discussion? All those in favor of amendment 58 say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Jeez.
That amendment's passed. Next amendment is amendment number 2. The reading clerk will read the amendment.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 2, section 006, Administration and Information.
Senator Von Flatern.
Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 1 and ask for your favorable vote. Senators, this is the under the CAPCON area of the budget. It has to do with the other four projects that are in the community college. Capital construction. What they came to the state with for the top priority six projects was a 50%, except for Eastern Wyoming Community College, which had asked for about 97% or so of what they needed to build their building. The rest of them asked for 50% state funding and 50% local match. The Joint Appropriations Committee came up with about 50%, they came up with about 44% for Laramie's second project. They came up with 21% for Gillette, Sheridan, and Central Wyoming Community College. They only came up with 21% of the projected cost of the total project. So they gave them approximately a little less than half of what they had come to ask for. So what this does is go into page 104, lines 5, 7, 8, 9. You see it on there, and it adds the 2 million, the 3.7, the 1.4, and the 5.2 to each project on there, bringing them up to the 50% they requested of state money, and they'll come up with 50% local match. Now, this takes care of the actual priority list in order. Nobody's jumping ahead of any other community college on this. And we understand that the community colleges, we tried to take care of them, and we gave them about two-thirds of what they asked for in enrollment growth. They had asked for quite a bit more per the formula. We only gave them the last one, 14.3. Now it's time to build some buildings. We're trying to make it equal for everybody, not just take one school itself or fight for your own little school. What we're doing is saying across the board, we'll follow what the Community College Commission did, which was put a matrix together, prioritize the projects, and then come to the Joint Appropriations Committee for funding in whatever order. So they did fund Eastern for about 88%, and they did fund about 88% of the total project cost, and they funded about 46% of the second LCCC. But we're trying to take all four, leave Eastern alone, they have their funding. We're trying to take the other four and get them at 50% equal across the board. You got to remember, your community colleges, they teach, however you want to look at it, twice the number of people that the university does. They're your local school. They need our help in this. I can only speak personally about the Gillette Project, which is a student activity center. It has a nurse laboratory in it. It has classrooms in it. It also has a gymnasium in it. Our basketball team now uses the campus of the high school, which they are appropriating, we hope, to remodel that, losing our basketball court in about 2 years. So our community college has built up a great women's and men's basketball team. In about 2 years, they may be basically homeless. So we need that space. We've got half the money promised to us. Our county commissioners have said they'll cover the major maintenance, taking it out of the system on that particular point. And all the furnishings and fixtures are being paid by private donations, the largest single private donation we've ever received, of about $2 million. So there is a small handout on your desk which details the Sheridan and Gillette projects. And one letter of support. I have about a half a dozen of these other letters of support. But this is kind of the support we have from industry for our projects. So I'm sure others can speak about their own at Sheridan or Central. And I stand for questions, Mr. President.
Senator Meyer.
President, rising on and against the amendment. Folks, I'm going to tell you kind of how the process went through here so you understand what the actions of the JAC was and why. Essentially, there were only two projects that the governor recommended, and that was the LCCC Flex Tech Building and the EWC Career Tech Center. Now, Laramie County had already had a bond issue, which moved their bond level up to about 7 mils, and they had the matching funds already. So we decided to go ahead and fund where the matching funds were already available, and we also moved up EWC's match from what the commission recommendation was, due to their, they have a formula where they take into the account the revenue that's available at the local level, and that's why that was originally a 97% match. But we moved up that amount so EWC would go to a 7 mil bond level. So we wanted everybody to have the same skin in the game. So the other ones, Mr. President, that were funded down here at the 21% level, was just enough to get these folks going so they could get their local funds and look at it. Frankly, I felt that probably we shouldn't have funded any of them because they weren't on the list. They weren't recommended by the governor. And we went above the governor's recs and put money out into the system. Just for your information as far as the different mill levies that we have and where these things are, Sheridan County is at 5.5 mil levies. So if we're going to treat everybody the same, we should get back in here with a formula that says, okay, your match is consistent with your ability to raise your revenue, and use the same funding formula that that we were derived with Eastern. So Sheridan would have to add a million and a half, and that's 436,000 for each mill. Same thing, Mr. President, with some of the other ones here. I guess there's we've got one in Gillette, and Gillette, like all of the satellite counties, have zero mills, as far as I know, unless I could stand corrected on that. So I'm sure they're going to come up with their match some way, Mr. President. Riverton is at 6.53 mills, and they get about $900,000. Goshen County gets $160,000. So, Mr. President, for Goshen County and EWC, we basically figured for 10 years you get to charge yourself another $160,000. We're not doing that in these ones over here. None of them were on the sheet as far as recommended by the governor. And, Mr. President, this is $12 million. At some point in time, folks, we gotta think about this. I mean, this is a beautifully structured amendment. I mean, practically everybody on this floor is going to have a little bit of this. And it's almost like we got more people in the wagon than pulling the wagon now. So let's think about this. We've got to stay in line. This is getting to be a runaway budget. There's no doubt about it, Mr. President. We got to think about the future of the state. And I certainly agree with the good senator for Campbell County. The community colleges are an integral part of the future of the state. But, Mr. President, sometimes you just have to say no.
Further discussion, Mr. Vice President.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. I, too, would urge the body to vote no. And I remember one time when I was on the other end of this building, and a good colleague of mine, friend of all of ours, was the chairman of the appropriations, and he just got tired of saying no and finally just had a sign that says, "What don't you understand about no?" And I would just echo what my colleague from Goshen County has said. As when we first started this, understand we were already $2 million in the red from the $27 million we had when we started. And if we'd have passed everything in here, there would have been $53 million added. I don't have a running total, but it's substantial. And you add this other $12 million, when we look at the goldenrod tomorrow, you'll see a big negative figure, I would say probably $20 million. So I just want to encourage the body to vote no. And this is something that we treated them very fairly by doing the 22%, adding LCCC's second building. None of these were on the governor's recommended list. And so I think it's just a good decision, a good prudent decision to go ahead and vote no on this.
Discussion. Senator Scott.
Mr. President, sometimes you just have to say yes.
Well, we'll find out.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, now, folks, let's not panic. This is one-time money, and I will assure you tomorrow when you look at the goldenrod, don't panic. Go back and look at the last section of the budget. That's the budget balancers, and that money will come right out of that reserve account, budget reserve account. That's what it's there for. This is one-time money. But it's a one-time investment in something that I believe has been the top priority in this state for many years, and I'm very proud that it's the top priority. And that's the education that we provide, raising the skill level in all the different programs we've got, whether it's a certificate or whether it's an associate's degree, whether it's holding classes, for specific classes, for industry to get the training they need to build the products, to build the trucks, to build the helicopter engine covers, all those kind of things. That's what these schools do. And in doing that, it means that the young people in our communities earn more money, succeed better, and it opens the door for them to move on with their career. It's how we grow our own workforce. I'm very proud of this. This is the infrastructure that enables those community colleges to do exactly that. I urge you to support this.
For the amendment, if we had been actually fair about this, and I had been writing this amendment, that money would have come out of Eastern Wyoming College. Fair is fair. One group get one college gets 91% of what they need, and the other gets and the other three get 22% of their share, and basically saying, "Oh, well, we'll justify this by each according to their ability, each according to their need." I don't think that's the philosophy of this body at all. In addition, the handout that the good senator from Gillette gave, you see that it's Sheridan College Science, Agriculture, and Culinary Center. The University Department of Agriculture, College of Agriculture, now has a wing up in Sheridan. It's now a part of Sheridan College, or rather, Sheridan College is a part of the University of Wyoming for the College of Agriculture. And what they've done, what they're wanting, and the university, if you notice, gets 100% of its buildings from state funds. Now, what Sheridan College wants to do is co-locate with culinary and science, and cross seed in terms of education. I think that this particular amendment is, frankly, still unfair to these colleges, especially when one of them is still getting 91%, and then gets to complain that there's more people on the wagon than pulling the wagon. Well, so say those who are on the wagon.
Further discussion, Senator Driscoll.
Mr. President, I kind of wanted to sit down, but I've got to talk about it. We put $1 billion in our high school, $1 billion in our university. Our community colleges are all funded at least half out of the towns. And they're the ones that are educating the kids twice what the university does. This is a time that we can spend the money. We talk about needs, and we're putting $100 million in so we can build some more high school buildings. Another $100 million. And we're talking about not being able to spend 10 on the community colleges to educate more kids than the university does. Let's put our money where it puts ourselves to work and does it. And the community colleges are getting the kids out, and they're getting productive kids for us. They need capacity. Let's vote for this.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, you know, in some ways, I don't have a horse in this race because we don't have a community college. But, folks, the arguments you've heard today, as though this is a dire time, that this is somehow unique, is the same argument we have every year. As sitting on the Appropriations Committee for 10 years, it's always been the same. And we have never deprived the community colleges of resources, and they've built up their assets over time. And you hear arguments as though the community colleges have been starved out, and one college is fair, not fair to the other. Truthfully, what happened here is that your JAC went well beyond what the Gov's rec were and said, look, we ought to be able to move some more resources into this. Then everybody looks around and said, well, he got this much, I got this much. It doesn't seem fair. If you go back in the history of it, there are colleges and counties out there that said, look, if you let me build a campus, we'll pay for it locally. We'll never have to come down to Cheyenne for resources. The community college up in the farthest northeast said, you know, we have the resources. We will pay a local bond issues. And yet we built a magnificent training center for them. And they act like we didn't do that. Just not too long ago, we put a ton of money into the Gillette campus. And if you want to go back and really do this on fairness, you got to go back and say, we've dealt with these colleges. People have had years where they did better than others. Your JAC made a recommendation which they thought fit this budget. And your JAC, they struggled with it. They had already stretched it. Support your JAC. And if you come back next year, there will be more resources, and you'll have the same argument then, but there will be more resources. But every year, we've been putting more resources in. And this notion that somehow folks have not been had any resources to add to their campuses is just not accurate. Support your JAC.
Further discussion. Senator Ron Flanner for your Senator Schiffer for your second time.
Mr. President, for my second time. Mr. President, if you want to follow the logic that appropriations claims they used, which is the ability to pay, quite frankly, then Campbell County gets 100% because they can't levy a mill.
Oh, that's correct.
They absolutely can't do it. Only Sheridan County can. It doesn't make sense. But what does make sense is treating everybody the same. They're growing those colleges. They're reaching out and providing the courses that are needed in this state. And they, by the way, they can't get them at the university. That's not what universities do. Matter of fact, in order to go to the university, you might have to go to a community college to take remedial courses. That's the way it works, and that's okay. They'll provide the remedial courses so students can go on to the university and get a four-year degree. But if you're going to really develop this stuff, at least treat them equally. And this business, oh, the ability to pay, like I say, that doesn't make sense. That just doesn't make sense when you're providing courses in counties that can't raise that money. There's only one county that can raise it up where we live. Same way, community college here provides a chapter or a campus over at the university for good purpose because it's needed. They provide remedial courses. They provide all sorts of other courses. And yet, they can't raise any money over there for that campus. So I urge you to vote for this. This is an investment, and the state can afford it. We are lucky to be able to afford these kind of buildings and these kind of programs.
Senator Nicholas, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, folks, I want to talk about the equity of the fairness issue, as though everybody's the same and they're not. The in terms of equity, we would have shut down the proliferation of colleges years ago when we realized the growth and the size of colleges. And the first in time would have been just fine. And you take Eastern, for example, they were first in time, but they don't have local resources. Gillette can raise money. All they have to do is go out and do a sales tax. And, geez, they might have to put it on for 6 months. They have used that vehicle, and they can use that vehicle. They have resources available to them. But I'll give you this. We all agree that the community college system has a place in Wyoming. And Eastern needs a community college just as much as the other communities do. They never had the resources. And, you know, we've been through this when they had problems with their living facilities that we had to come in and remediate. And we've recognized that that community college is as important to those folks there and to that area as the one in Gillette. We recognize there was an opportunity in Gillette that for our mineral industry to grow, they needed to have some specialized training. And we delivered big bucks in the $20 million-plus to provide to them special facilities, and they're pulling students from other counties. We've recognized that in CWC, they had special affinity with the tribes. We built special buildings to address those needs. And we'll continue to do it year after year. And this will not be the last year, and there'll be more. And you might as well throw out this nonsense that everybody gets dollar for dollar treat. We don't. That's not fair. It is not fair to treat them all as though they have the same resources. Every student that goes to Eastern ought to have the same opportunities they have the other communities. And we do temper the fairness in terms of your ability to pay, and JAC did a good job of doing that. I urge you to support JAC's recommendation.
Senator Von Flater.
Pretty much made up your mind. I don't have any much to add to that. I will point out the top 50 fastest growing schools, Sheridan's number 3 in that group. And that's for two-year colleges of that size. I will also mention that Gillette itself, Campbell County, does not have taxing authority, just like Albany County doesn't for a college. But only all the home districts, the 7 counties, 5 mills is the most they do. They may assess another mill for a specialized purpose, or they may add the sales tax for a special project, but it's 5 mills, as all the colleges do in any of our counties. I will tell you that Campbell County has spends more money in either their BOCES money and or local government money donations to that college than all the mill levies raised in Sheridan for their college. So we do pay our share. So I ask for your aye vote on this. And, Mr. President, up or down, sir. Thank you.
Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Anderson District 2. Anderson District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
No.
Bebout.
No.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Christensen?
No. Coe?
No.
Cooper?
Aye.
Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstader?
No.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Amrick?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
No.
Hicks?
Aye.
Hines?
No.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
No.
Meyer?
No.
Nicholas?
No.
Nutting excused. Perkins?
No.
Peterson? Rothfuss?
No.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Ross?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 13 ayes, 16 noes, 1 excused.
Amendment number 2 has failed. Next amendment for our consideration is amendment number 33. The reading clerk will read it in.
Senate File 1, Second Reading Amendment 33, Section 300, Budget Balancers.
Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move Amendment number 33 to Senate File 1. And after your favorable consideration, members of the Senate, this was an area that was requested by the governor in refilling the SIPA from his... Letter number 15, I believe it is. Last year, the legislature established the SIPA. This account is available to fund important infrastructure projects, projects with long-term benefit to Wyoming, and projects that meet the state's obligations to its citizens. The timing was good for the logic forward thinking. I have recommended projects which meet this criteria. I recommend that the SIPA be incorporated into this budget and future budgets as part of Wyoming's financial portfolio and budget planning, and that it will be funded with $90 million. So that's what I did. I brought it up to $90 million, took the excess of the amount projected of earnings off the permanent mineral trust fund earnings account and for 15 and 16, and that's what it does.
Discussion. Mr. Vice President.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. I would urge the body to vote no on this. And we talked about the SIP account, and of course you've seen what in this budget when we did the last supplemental budget, we had the SIP account. We're just not sure. We're putting out there $180 million. We really have no idea what's going to be there, how much money might be there. Yet we're spending money that we may very well not have. And so I think it's a bad policy to start advancing it in that regard. Last year when we did the SIPA, we felt pretty good about the capital gains, and we were able to do that, and it worked out well. You know, we don't know where we are this year at this particular time. I have concerns that if you throw this money out there, if this amount out there, the capital gains aren't there, then we put ourselves in a further deficit mode. So I would ask the body to vote no.
Any further discussion? Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Anderson District 2?
No.
Anderson District 28?
No.
Barnard?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
Kraft?
No.
Dockstader?
No.
Driscoll?
No.
Amrick?
No.
Esquibel?
No.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
No.
Hicks?
No.
Hines?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Landon?
No.
Meyer? Nicholas?
No.
Nutting excused. Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
No.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Ross?
No.
Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 4 ayes, 25 noes, 1 excused.
Amendment number 33 has failed. Next amendment for our consideration is amendment number 34. The reading clerk will read it in.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 34, section 312, major maintenance for funding of state facilities.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd move second reading amendment number 34 to Senate File 1 and ask the body's favorable consideration. What we're doing here is we've had a little bit of discussion this, Mr. President, during Committee of the Whole. We've got a formula by which we commute major maintenance. And what we, if you remember, we passed something out, at least in the community colleges, where we spread that out. So over the first 10 years, there's a graduated representation or graduated calculation about major maintenance. And which makes sense, Mr. President, in that when you have a new building, there shouldn't be major components that go wrong with that. So what this does is say, you know, let's go out, and now that we've got that in here, let's go get this figured out. Let's make it uniform so we don't have to come back and argue about fairness. So it'll be uniform for the University of Wyoming, uniform for the colleges, and uniform for the school facilities as we do that, so everybody will know where we're going when we talk about major maintenance and how we calculate that in the future. I'd urge your favorable consideration.
Mr. Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
No, no. Wait. I called on Minority Floor Leader.
Mr. President, if he wants to trade, I'm willing. Some crazy things will happen in that 5 minutes, Mr. President.
Mr. Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd ask the proponents of the particular amendment if they'd be interested in having the School Facilities Committee participate in the negotiation and discussion regarding the cost structure. I think that would be a good idea. Thank you, Mr. President.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My only comment with respect to this is that this is a topic that or agency and item typically assigned to JAC anyway. If they want to do this, they simply put it on their list for management council, and it's sort of like telling yourself to do something. And so I guess I'd urge you to vote no, and then if this is your top item, put it in management council request for your interim study.
Discussion? Any further discussion? Hearing none. Question is, shall amendment number 34 pass? All those in favor say aye. Opposed?
No.
Amendments failed. Amendment number 35. Reading clerk will read it in.
Mr. Chairman,
Mr. President. Senator Perkins.
Withdraw. Mr. President, I withdraw second reading amendment 35.
All right. Thank you. Okay, we're now on amendment number 36. The reading clerk will read that one in.
Senate file number 1, second reading amendment number 36, fourth corrected copy, section 320 employee compensation.
Mr. Vice President.
Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 36 to Senate file 1, and you're correct in the reading. Corrected copy 4. I really wanted to make sure I got this right, and I've been working on it in between all the good debate we've had tonight, and I do have it right. And, Mr. President, what this does, and you have a sheet on your desk that shows, should say BBOT number 2, which is the same as 4, and if you'll find that sheet, I'll walk you through what this bill does, and while you're looking for that, essentially what we've done is we've removed the governor's position and the JAC rec on the retirement portion of the salary compensation. So for the community colleges, that is $750,000. For the UW, it's $1.8 million, and for the state employees, it's $3.1 million. And Mr. President, if you recall, in the last general session, we added 1% to the state employees in terms of their commitment and their contribution to the firemen or to their retirement because of actuarial issues. Half of that was paid by the employee, half by the state. And so what this does, what the governor done and what the governor did and the JAC did as well, is said that the state will pay that all in this particular amendment. And what this does is this, it will go back to the way it was, where the employees pay half and the state pays half. And then what we've done, Mr. President, is we've taken that amount, and you can see it's $5.65 million, and we've added it into salaries. So the amount of money that the state employees will be getting will still be the same number, $39.5 million. The allocation will be different. They will still be required to pay their contribution to the state retirement fund, and we shifted that amount of money into salaries. And that's what this amendment does.
Discussion.
It is revenue neutral, Mr. President.
Thank you. Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. President, I was just curious. Does it's revenue neutral to us? Does this affect the employees in any way in terms of withholding or income tax?
Just a sec. Let's see if there's any other discussion before the sponsor takes a second time. Mr. Minority Floor Leader.
Mr. President, I'd be interested in hearing from some of the other members of the Joint Appropriations Committee on why this wasn't the approach that was taken, if it's revenue neutral and ends up being all things equal for the employees. So if we could get a little further explanation from the dissenters on the JAC.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. The answer was that this was one of those seven to five, maybe 8-4 votes that happened in JAC where the Senate was united, or at least fairly united with respect to this, but they just have more votes than we did, Mr. President. But a couple of the other questions. I mean, ultimately, I think it's essentially revenue neutral. Actually, if you look, I think it, when you look at the, before this amendment, it's about, I think it's about 2.48, and with this amendment, it's like 2.5. And so it's, there's a couple dollars extra there. As far as the taxes and the withholding, to the extent that they're making these contributions, typically those come out and they come out before taxes, and so they will not be paying income tax on the amounts that are deferred into their own retirement accounts.
Further discussion, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and for the amendment, folks. As soon as JAC makes their recommendation, the next day you get a blast of, are you kidding me? We're only getting 1%, 1.5%, 2% raises. And a total indifference to the increase in benefits package are provided. And over time, over the 10 years I spent on JAC, repeatedly we went out to evaluate and compare salaries. And we know that over time, the employees that have been around the longest that are getting towards retirement tend to want their income paid in benefits. They want they're more their retirement picked up, and they want things that do not add to their paycheck the dollar amount. And the younger employees are looking at comparing a job. Well, am I getting $25,000 or am I getting $26,000? If I'm getting $26,000, I'm going to take that. They expect to pay part of their retirement and part of the benefits. And every time that we went out to compare our salaries for state employees and faculty to around the nation, rarely do you see them say, well, let's look at the benefit package. They always say, am I going to get paid $25 or am I going to pay $26? And in fact, it makes sense to require employees to share part of their cost of their health care and part of their and the real cost of their retirement, at least half of it, so they understand the cost for these programs. They understand that if they're contributing out real dollars to the plan, to the retirement plan, and it's underwater. They either have a choice to reduce COLAs or to contribute more out of their salary. So there's a cause and effect between what they pay for and the benefits they receive and the plans and the way they're managed. And what this proposal does is recognize that and say we're going to push more of the money into the salary and less into the benefits. And the employees are still, the state's still going to pick up their one half. And in fact, the state's still going to pay a large part of the employee's share voluntarily. I urge your support.
Further discussion? Question's been called. Oh, Senator Hastert.
Well, Mr. President, members of the Senate, I, you know, this was a tough one for me, but, you know, this is where the governor recommended the 2.5% raises and the pickup of the retirement. I know it's, you know, well, you do the 1% and that we drop down to, and then the 1% retirement, but the, you know, you pick up the 2.5% and then take the 1%. You know, what the net effect is what I was looking at. But you look at what we got to remember when we had our first original goldenrod, what the governor did, you know, there was still a substantial amount of money. There was over $200 million left on the table. Of course, we chose to put a lot of that into various accounts. But, you know, when our original profile showed with plenty of money in reserve for the 2.5, 2.5, and picking up that retirement. And I just think we should would stick with the Gov's Rex.
Senator Nicholas, for your second time.
The issue of this notion that the JAC chose between rewarding employees for being good employees and paying them and savings is not a fair characterization. The JAC's role is to make sure that they develop a plan that pays for the current cost of government and pays it on into the future. 80% of all the dollars that we spent go to salaries. I don't care how you look at it. You look whether university, you look at any part of our government, the general rule, and when you start breaking it down, is about 80% of everything we spend goes to salaries, and the other 20% goes to things. Now, and that's true for education all the way down. So when the JAC looks at the budget, they look at making sure that there's a fair package now, that we can sustain those payments, both in the immediate future and the long-term future. And they know that if we don't provide rainy day accounts and those items 5 to 10 years from now, we're going to be looking at cutting employees. Many of us were here in the 90s when that's exactly what happened. Many of us were here when we did a 5 to 10% cut where we had to reduce the numbers of employees. And their planning is to plan for a budget which protects the payments of these salaries. Rainy day accounts will get exhausted. They always do. They always have. And when they get exhausted, 80% of that money will, and maybe even 100%, will go to pay employee salaries. Every dollar we put in the permanent mill trust fund generates income that comes out and goes into the general fund. 80% of that will go to salaries. And that's just the way the budget works. And it's our charge to make sure that we can build a budget that can make sure we pay our bills to the current employees, to the ones that are here 5 years from now, 10 years, and to the extent we can, not experience reductions in their salaries because we had commodity prices drop, or go out and say we're faced with firing 10% of you because our commodities drop. These efforts are designed to protect this budget for the benefit of the employees of the state of Wyoming.
Further discussion? Ready? Question's been called. Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Kuzik. Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Amrick?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Hines?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Nutting excused. Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Platern? President Ross.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 29 ayes, 1 excused.
Our amendment number 36, Senate File 1, has passed. Next amendment for us is amendment number 37. The reading clerk will read it.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 37, section 322, creation of maps.
Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 35 to Senate File 1. This is in the creation of maps section, and we had a mistake, and we corrected that mistake. Actually, what we did is we put a couple communities in places they were not supposed to be, and we've now corrected that. It seems like today is my day of corrections. I would ask the body to vote aye.
Discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor of amendment number 37 say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That amendment's passed. Next amendment for our consideration. Amendment number 52. The reading clerk will read it.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 52, section 329, Department of Health Facilities Task Force.
Senator Dockstader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 52 to Senate File 1. Members of the Senate, I heard our discussion yesterday, and the request was to get out and strengthen a little more. Make sure there were some deliverables. So we changed it around to allow the President of the Senate and the Speaker of the House to make the appointments, and they could reach out and find those who are well-versed in these matters and seasoned and know how to go out and get the job done. And that's under 10 and 13, lines 10 and 13, and then under 16, under the Governor's appointments, the emphasis would be the governor shall consider the expertise required to produce timeless outlines, deliverables, and recommendations. In other words, getting it done versus just something that we had concerns yesterday that we'd come back with without a good product, and that's what we're trying to do here with these changes. 26, the task force shall serve as the legislative members will serve as co-chairs, determined by the President and the Speaker of the House, the Governor as well. And then under 32, they'd meet as necessary with the assignments to go ahead and have everything done by May 15th, start an outline by May 15th, 2014, again, to outline the objectives and the deliverables. And then under line 40, provide an interim report. We'll provide it back to Labor and Health by November 1st, 2014. And then there was a request on the second page to back the dates up a little bit, to give a little more time to get this done and get it worked out. And so thus in 4 and 6, lines 4 and 6, 2015. And then under 10, again trying to strengthen it, task force may contract with experts as necessary to fulfill the duties assigned under this section on majority vote of the task force, approval of the governor. Contracts were set up in a way that they could be approved immediately under the procurement provisions. They were under this provision, the subsection shall be subject to the procurement provisions, And then the appropriation, well, again, we backed off the dates 2015 and 2016. The appropriation, I had two or three different figures we were kicking around, and I came in this morning, and in the spirit of committee, too, I cut myself back again. And dropped it back to 275. Mr. President, seems like I can't even go to the grocery store without pulling stuff out of the basket and cutting myself back since being on this committee. So this is what we're looking for, members of the Senate. We take a hard look at what we're doing with our health care facilities. We look for ways to conserve and save money. And we've had repetitive requests to committee number 2 and committee number 10 to put together some type of team that would get this done, and that's what this does. And I ask for your favorable approval.
Discussion. Senator Nicholas.
Mr. President, I don't need an answer now, but I guess I've been struggling with this the last few days, and here's my concern. We've weighted this thing towards the legislative side, where we're the co-chairs, and we've had, as I believe, we're still staffing it with legislative staff. And it appears to me that this task force is intended to go begin to start looking at square footage allocation and do a more advanced work. At some point in this process, you have to have the leaders in the planning being A&I construction management, because they have the manager skills, they have the construction experts, the engineers, they're not actually engineers as much as they're construction managers. And they have experience leading through this. And if I think back to this project, we relied heavily, it was an executive task force with a strong legislative driver. We kind of controlled it because we knew that the legislation would have to come back here. But we got the advantage of full-time employees in the state of over in A&I focusing on this 100% of their time, and we got all that expertise that's there every day. And I'm concerned that this is we're trying to take something bigger than bite off something larger than we can chew, and we're putting all the driving force in legislators who are part-time, staff who have never built a building, never assessed square footage, and yet we have all this executive expertise between the Department of Health, people that manage facilities management and all that, and we're leaving them on the side, and maybe we ought to be thinking about this, it'd be an executive task force with us as a strong role. I leave that for your consideration. It's just been causing me concern.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, speaking to that, I think we need to get away from an immediate focus on building buildings. We've got a strategy set of issues that we've got to deal with before we get to that stage. And we have to figure out basically, you know, what functions are we going to put in which institution, which functions ought we to cover, which functions ought to be covered by the private sector, and we pay for our part of the operating of that. We've got a set of strategy considerations before we get to the stage that you did with the capital building renovation of going to building. When we get to that stage, then I think it's exactly proper, Mr. President, that we go to an executive task force with a big legislative input. But we've got a stage that is really in the purview of the legislature in terms of setting some basic long-term strategy, and frankly, the executive branch in this area has recognized that, and they've been rightly after us to do that stage, and that's what this is designed to do. So that's why this is designed the way it is. Frankly, Mr. President, I don't know whether they can get a final report at the time of the interim report in 2014. I suspect the task is a little too big for that. But I think the way it's laid out is appropriate, and we'll get the right kind of work done first before we're ready to go to the stage of saying, okay, we've defined the mission, now let's talk about the physical facilities.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I would ask that we go ahead and approve this. I think it's an improvement over the original one. And the parties that have raised some concerns here, maybe get behind the glass after that or tomorrow morning and see if they can come up with something that that'll work for not only for next year but the year after in the task force. Call for the question.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I concur with passing the amendment out. But folks, you know, you all probably have more experience than this than you think of. And let's do the analogy with schools. If you've been party on the school development projects, and many of us have, the first thing we did is we went out and you develop your ed specs, your education specifications, and you do that before you begin assigning your square footage. You have to do your specifications. And, you know, the folks that are in these architectural firms, these consultants, are very skilled at saying, okay, how do you develop your educational specifications and going forward? And so if this is the healthcare specifications we're doing, that is, what are the long-term missions, you need experts to get there. And you really need to buy in by the Department of Health, and you need somebody, folks, to be spending 100% of their time, and you're really looking for people that live in these facilities, I mean, work in them day in and day out to make sure that they're invested in it and they're helping you get there. And they, frankly, they're paid full time to think about these things, and they ought to be your workhorses, and you ought to be guiding them. If you want to take over that role, then you got to go live in these buildings yourselves and actually have worked there and provided services there that really have an understanding. And to think that any of us have the skill sets other than those that may have actually worked in those facilities is stretching it. So I concur that we're moving the right direction, but take a step back and look what you're doing and thinking about it and really think, do you really have the expertise to go out and develop the healthcare specs to move it forward?
Further discussion? There is an appropriation on it. Calls for a roll call vote.
Anderson District 2? Anderson District 28? Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
No.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Amrick?
Aye.
Esquivel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
No.
Hicks?
Aye.
Hines? No. Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
No.
Meyer?
Aye.
Nicholas? Nutting excused. Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Platern?
Aye.
President Ross?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 24 ayes, 5 noes, 1 excused.
Amendment number 52 is passed. Next amendment is amendment number 38. The reading clerk will read it in.
Senate file 1, second reading amendment number 38, section 331, AML funding.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 38 to Senate file 1. Members, essentially what this amendment is about is in the title, AML funding, redirection of prior authorizations. What this does is goes back into 2012 budget where there were monies that were authorized to the University of Wyoming School of Energy Resources for the purpose of providing grants to conduct one or more studies to evaluate the feasibility of using Wyoming natural resources to manufacture glass and glass products in Wyoming. Upon receiving that money, the University School of Energy Resources, I guess for all practical purposes, did a lit search and whatnot, and they found that there were ample studies on that whole topic in regard to making glass in Wyoming. And those studies indicate it's not very feasible to make glass in Wyoming because it's too heavy, too far to distant markets, too much freight. So therefore, they never utilized the monies, the $250,000 for any study, and then they are then recommending to repurpose or to send the money back, so to speak, to be used for another purpose, a redirection. So what I have done with this amendment, and I think that the appropriations folks very wisely in their budget, University of Wyoming Rare Earths had provided in the budget, page 174, provided $500,000 for the purpose of rare earth. I thought that these monies that are being redirected could be put to good purpose here. So what was done by the amendment was to take $250,000 of the general fund that had been given to the $500,000, take the $250,000 out, put it back to the general fund, use the redirected funds from the University of Wyoming, not used in the study, and use that to replace or backfill those monies in that budget for rare earths. So what you have, University of Wyoming has the same amount of money, $500,000 for research in rare earth, but you have then also a kind of a win-win in that $250,000 goes back in to the general fund. I would stand for any questions and ask for your favorable consideration.
Discussion? There is a change of funds, so we'll call for a roll call.
Anderson District 2?
Aye.
Anderson District 28?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Amrick?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert? Hicks? Hines, Johnson, Landon, Meyer, Nicholas, Nutting, excused, Perkins, Peterson, Rothfuss, Schiffer, Scott, Bonflatern, President Ross, Hastert. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 28 ayes, 1 no, 1 excused.
Amendment number 38 is passed. Next amendment is amendment number 48. The reading clerk will read it in.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 48, Section 332, Wyoming State Veterinary Biosafety Level 3 Laboratory.
I'm about to sneeze here. Representative Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move amendment 48. Second reading amendment 48 to Senate File 1 and ask for favorable consideration. Mr. President, this is another effective immediately situation. It relates to Section 332 of the budget as approved by and recommended by the JAC. The governor and the JAC have already recommended the availability of the possibility of loans from the state's risk management pool to address the needs of the BSL-3 laboratory repair in Laramie. Legal remedies are going to be pursued. We're not looking for any change in the appropriation, but the need is to actually begin this project right now as opposed to waiting until July 1 before those funds are available to be loaned from. Obviously, it's just a loan from that fund to begin with. Shouldn't be any type of problem, but we need to get this problem solved quickly and the construction started as quickly as possible. I'd urge the body for a favorable vote. There is no change in the appropriation or monetary value. Hopefully, we can get a voice vote on that, Mr. President.
Mr. Vice President.
Yep. Mr. President, this is a good idea. If something should happen quicker, we're in position to do it, and we need to do it. So I'd ask the body to vote aye as well.
Question on the amendment. All those in favor of amendment number 48 say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That amendment's adopted. Next amendment is amendment number 39. The reading clerk will read it in.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 39, Section 333, Municipal Solid Waste Cease Transfer Loan and Grant Program.
Mayor Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 39 to Senate File 1, ask for the body's favorable consideration. Mr. President, what this does is just say if Senate File 43 gets enacted, we're going to expend these funds down to priority number 21. That pretty much takes care of the funding level, and I'm sure all the other ones will be funded in due course, but that just kind of prioritizes that we're going to be using this particular funding for those particular projects. Ask for your favorable consideration.
Any question?
Question.
All those in favor of amendment number 39 say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That amendment's been adopted. Next amendment is amendment number 40. The reading clerk will read it in.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 40. Budget addition to 300 sections.
Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move second reading amendment number 40 to Senate File 1, ask the body for favorable consideration. Mr. President, recognizing that we won't have the opportunity during this legislative session to resolve a lot of the problems and situations that we have with regard to education accountability, the structure of the department, and everything else, we weren't comfortable bringing our education accountability legislation that we had prepared through the Select Committee on Education Accountability during the session. Our intent is to possibly bring it in a special session if there is one, or in fact just to wait until the next session if there isn't one. But through that period of time, Mr. President, we would like to be able to continue the operations and activities of our Select Education Accountability Group, and this is simply the appropriation to do so. Mr. President, you see on the first page, it's just extending the existence of the Education Accountability Select Committee, the activities of the Advisory Committee per statute already existing, discusses the Legislative Service Office providing continued support, and then in little d on page two, it discusses the $35,000 appropriation, which is what would be necessary to continue the operations of that Select Committee. The Select Committee has already terminated as of December 31st, therefore this is we've got an E clause which indicates that this section is effective immediately also so that we could have a meeting prior to July 1. I ask the body for favorable consideration. Thank you.
Question?
Question.
Question has been called. Roll call.
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case. Christensen, Coe, Cooper, Kraft, Dockstader, Driscoll, Amrick, Esquivel, Geis, Hastert, Hicks, Hines, Johnson, Landon, Meyer, Nicholas, Nutting excused, Perkins, Peterson, Rothfuss.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Von Flatern.
Aye.
President Ross.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 24 ayes, 5 noes, 1 excused.
Number 40 has passed Senate. Number 41, the reading clerk will read it.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 41. Addition to 300 sections.
Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move second reading amendment number 41 to Senate File 1. Fellow senators, I know it's getting late. This is another recommendation that comes from interim work by your education committees. And we're recommending this to you after, quite honestly, we sat through a very interesting presentation during the interim, conducted by some folks from the state from our south. And we don't really want to emulate much from down there anymore, but this is one thing that we were very impressed with. And it all ties into what the chairman talked about on joint appropriations with the work that we need to do in terms of security at our schools. This relates to giving the Department of Education the tools it needs to work with our local districts to develop and refine local crisis management plans. It involves the Department of Homeland Security, our health and safety agencies, and I'll defer to my colleagues who can help me remember a little bit better some of the presentation that we saw, but we are so impressed with what they've done in terms of social media. My colleague who sits with me here will know what I'm talking about. It's an anonymous communicative system. We heard about one case, for example, where they were playing an online game and there was a student in another state somewhere who alerted officials in the state to our south about something that may or may not be going to happen. They were able to find that student, get to the house, and interact and probably headed off a crisis. And it all came about because of this it's okay to tell kind of communicative plan that was established. Now, it does come at a little bit of a cost. The security effort, you'll notice on paragraph D on the second page that we do ask for an appropriation there out of the school foundation program to the Department of Ed to fund the activities of this advisory committee, and then for the period commencing and ending up through 2016, we would like the ability to authorize a couple of at-will positions, Mr. President. I think this school security issue is important enough to make this kind of investment. I would encourage your favorable support. Thank you.
Senator Meyer?
Thank you, Mr. President. A question. Is it mandatory on page 1, lines, it looks like about 19, 20, 22, somewhere in there, that that twice each year you have a safety drill? I'm just wondering if that's a mandatory or is it optional by the local school district. It seems like, Mr. President, that the local school board really doesn't have anything to do. We're telling them everything that they have to do. And I'm just wondering if this is mandatory, you know. And I know that we've got fire drills a couple times a year. And, you know, frankly, the teachers are being taken out of the classroom more and more for testing and more for in-service. And it just seems like, Mr. President, we're requiring all these different things. And if that's mandatory, you know, I think it would just be the straw that breaks the camel's back in some of these places.
Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, we could look to a third reading amendment on that one to amend it to be like between one and three times a school year. I'm just kidding, Mr. President. We can we could take that out or amend it. I Mr. President, I don't want a straw to break this camel's back. If that's what it would take to make you happy, I'm good with it. Mr. President, we had some of the best testimony I saw in the interim on this. The program that they put together in the state to the south of us in response to a horrible shooting that they had at one of their schools a number of years ago was incredibly compelling. They put a tremendous amount of resources, time, and energy, experts. They brought in international and national experts to form a program that would allow rapid response, communication, buy-in from students, and they've had success and positive outcomes as a result of it, as a result of that implementation. And they have basically invited us to participate in their program at an incredibly low cost because it's already developed, they committed to it, and they recognize that they'd even be better off if we were involved than if we weren't involved. So this appropriation is small relative to what we get in terms of school safety. And, Mr. President, we've had a lot of discussions about how important it is for us to begin to address school safety concerns. As my good colleague pointed out, this is probably the best investment I can come up with after my couple of years of looking into it along with the rest of my committee, and I sure hope we support this appropriation, Mr. President.
Anything further? Senator Hicks.
Mr. Chairman, just a question kind of along the same lines as my colleague from Goshen County, but on page 1, if we go to subsection B, it says the department shall convene an advisory committee. The advisory committee is composed of state and local law enforcement, health and safety, security, emergency preparedness, inoperable communications providers, agencies and organizations. I don't see any input in this advisory committee from a local school board or a school district. This is all, where do they have any input into this advisory board?
Second time, Senator Meyer.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I want to divide this amendment. Page 2, lines 17 through 33.
Page 2?
Page 2, lines 17 through 33. Mr. President.
Just a moment. Is that Division 1?
That's Division 1.
Lines 17 through 32.
Yeah.
All right. You wish to address Division
1? Yeah, I would wish to address Division 1, and I'll speak to this one. It's basically, it's the appropriation of two at-will employees. Frankly, folks, I think that this is going to the Department of Education.
you know, they should have some people around there that can do this. That's a huge budget, Mr. President. I mean, it's already there. There's no need of putting any more into that one.
Discussion on Division 1. Mr. Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. My first time on Division Number 1. Those two at-will positions are full-time at-will positions are authorized for the Office of Homeland Security. It's not the Department of Education. Again, it's an essential program with an essential role. When we're looking at other programs costing us $4.6 million a year for security in schools, when we're looking at the other things that we've considered in this body taken very seriously, all of the other legislation that's come forward and the difficulties we've had, adding a couple of people to Homeland Security in $150K is a pretty trivial amount for the safety of our children relative to the other programs, and we saw incredible successes for it. So I'd urge the body to adopt this particular amendment. I am curious how it's divisible, though. I don't know how you leave an appropriation all by itself out in space, but we'll go ahead and move beyond that because it's late, and I hope everyone will support this particular portion of the amendment.
Senator Landon.
Mr. President, thank you. I actually had the same question, was sitting here scratching my head, which is why the good senator beat me up. Mr. President, I tell you what, this program was really compelling, and I think this is little enough for us to do to invest in it. As I mentioned before, we haven't had any problem writing amendments and budgeting money so that we can take the physical structures of our schools, you know, and build new front ends and do analysis, you know, and bring people in terms of security. This is really important because it involves the students inside those buildings. And you know, a couple of at-will positions that go away, I think, is very little for us to invest in a program like this. So on and against this division divided amendment.
For it.
I apologize. Thank you.
Question does call for a roll call vote.
Anderson, District 2? Anderson, District 28?
No.
Barnard?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
No.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstader?
No.
Driscoll?
No.
Amrick?
No.
Esquibel? Geist?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
No.
Hines?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
No.
Nicholas?
No.
Nutting excused. Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Ross?
Aye.
Closing vote?
Cooper,
aye to no. Closing? Vote closed. 12 ayes, 17 noes, 1 excused.
Division number 1 has failed. We're back on the remainder of the amendment. Is there any further discussion? It's Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I don't believe the rest of the amendment can be carried out without this portion of the amendment. So I would actually urge the body to vote against it, and hopefully we'll bring something back next year when we have another opportunity. So I'd go no on it.
Discussion? All those in favor of the remainder of the amendment, say aye. Opposed?
No.
Well, I think only about 4 people voted. All those in favor, please stand. Those opposed. Amendment fails. Okay. Amendment number 42, the reading clerk will read it in.
The whole education thing screwed up.
Senate Final 1, second reading amendment number 42, addition to 300 section.
That's why this died.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move second reading amendment number 42 to Senate File 1, Folks, we haven't had a long-term plan provided by the university for the long-term facilities for some time, at least in my estimation, and we've been sort of going along the last few years. In the past, we've had very strong long-term plans. In fact, we've sort of finished them up. They should be reactivated from time to time. The current administration has assured us that they will go and reactivate that process and look at the long-term plan with a focus on looking internally at our facilities instead of just adding new buildings. We've heard the message, they've heard the message, that let's focus on the facilities we have. We anticipate that the first priority with respect to the facilities is the science part of ANS. For those of you that were in the sciences, you'll remember the biological sciences, the Ava Nelsons. Those are where there's a lot of the upper graduate lab spaces. Those facilities haven't been remediated and changed since I was in microbiology back in years ago. 1926, about that time. So it's time to look at that, but before... The preliminary estimate is that taking those facilities and bringing them up to current standards where we're competitive will be in the $50 to $75 million range to take care of everything. It'll be a big ticket item, but before we go into putting that kind of investment, I think one of the things we have learned, and we learned from the Tier 1 process, is that if we're going to go in and look at these high-level labs, let's really look at the same things we did with Tier 1 engineering. That is, how do we make this investment in something that improves the quality and the stature of the university? Where are the niches that we're good at? How do we elevate the standing of the stature of the university in this respect? Folks, most of the research dollars that come into the university are in the sciences side, and this is an opportunity to look at that part of the college of the university and say, let's really see what we can do to improve this. You look at any of our competing colleges throughout the United States and community, this is where a lot of the robust research that comes for development of jobs, that sort of thing. So what we're asking is the governor to conduct a similar type of process that was conducted for engineering and ask that he develop a task force with full of experts, people, former grads, folks that really can make sure that this investment is world-class. If you have the chance to go to the University of Wyoming this weekend, I urge you to do that. You'll get to see, the contrast between what you'll see in the labs in the SER, the new SER building, which are world-class, where we have world-class research, and then get to go to see what their comparable colleagues of that caliber or the facilities they have in the older buildings where there's an equal amount of strong research. And I think if you see, I think your reaction will be the same as mine, and that is it's time to make that investment. But if we are, let's make sure we're getting a program at a result that we're proud of. I urge your support.
Question, Senator Burns.
Mr. President, just for curiosity, for those from the northern climes and who did not attend University of Wyoming, who was Ava Nelson?
Is there any further discussion before the sponsor takes its second time? Botanist at the university, the building is named after Ava. That's my recollection. Does that everybody agree? And that's where botany is, but there are all some strong labs in that building. It's north. Pardon? I'm getting a lot of feedback here.
Okay.
Would you take administrative notice that Co has never been in any of the classrooms at university? But would you take administrative notice that he's never even been in his own library?
All those in favor of Amendment number 42 say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That amendment's passed. Next amendment is amendment number 43. The reading clerk will read it in.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 43, addition to 300 sections.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. President, I move second reading number 43 to Senate File 1. Folks, this is a discussion of what to do with the proceeds from the sale of the Poplar facility in Casper. Most everybody knows that that's where we have a lot of our classes out on our meetings out on Poplar. That building is being sold now that the joint facility on campus at Casper College has been completed. The anticipated sale price is about $2 million. What this does is take the $2 million proceeds, deposits of the treasurer's office, and the treasurer's office is now holding cash for their bonding program as a result of prior legislation that we implemented and required for their bond enhancements. That is the bond grade enhancement. So they get a higher bond level. We pledge some of our FMRs for that, but we've required the university to deposit some cash with the treasurer. This will go into that cash. That will roll out some of their old cash, and that cash will actually go into completing infrastructure on Lewis Street that where the improvements are going to cost a little bit more. Lewis Street is the street between the Enzi building and the engineering college. That they have to build a steam tunnel that goes from Lewis all the way back. It'll be a home run, that is, from the steam plant all the way to this facility. Those costs are coming in larger. So it's about a domino theory, but that's what those $2 million will feed through. I urge your support of the amendment.
Is there any discussion? Questions being called. All those in favor of amendment number 43 say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
That amendment's passed. Amendment number 44. Reading clerk will read it.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 44, addition to 300 sections.
Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. President, I'm going to withdraw this amendment. I just want to speak shortly and then withdraw it. Folks, I think a lot of us have heard the message repeatedly that many of the people on campus feel a little disconnected to the legislature. Legislature feels like the university has not been entirely responsible to areas of great interest. I use as an example the continuous criticism that I hear from the members of the education committee that the graduates coming out in the education program are not at the quality and level that they think is appropriate for our four-year institution, and their frustration that the university is simply not listening to them. What I was proposing is that if you look at our committees, our committees sort of align with the colleges of the university. And my suggestion was is the dean of the college of ag go meet, sit down and meet with the ag committee. That the dean of the College of Education meet with the education committee on starting the first of the year and sit down and say, look, what is it that you folks are hearing from your constituents? Not you as a legislature, but you as your constituent we represent. What do you think that we're failing? Where would you like to see improvements? And then sit down and say, look, these are the areas that we're interested in. The deans could go back and think about how to improve it, provide a plan, bring the plan back, have the committee comment on the plan, and then implement it. And then come back next year and execute, and then develop a continuing relationship where the deans of the colleges meet with our committees. I think back, it used to be the Judiciary Committee would want a bill. They'd want a bill with respect to lien or mechanics liens. They'd call over to the law school. The law school said, no, you bet. We'll give you experts in on lien laws to help you draft those laws. I'm told now that when the Judiciary Committee and the our staff call over the University College of Law, they get no response and no interest in those collaborative efforts. And, frankly, when I go home, folks wonder why there's a sort of a a lukewarm relationship because it's not being worked on. It's not being developed. Having said that, I proposed it, and I understand that the emails at the university have lit up. They think that this is our intervention there. It's just not worth the effort. I respectfully withdraw the amendment.
Cool. Amendment number 49, the reading clerk will read it in.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 49, addition to 300 sections.
It's minority floor leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 49 to Senate File 1 and ask the body for favorable consideration. Mr. President, this early childhood program amendment is based on a lot of work that we did in the Education Committee over the interim. We took a lot of testimony, and one of the things that we heard after asking the agencies, we've got four agencies that work with early childhood programs. We've got Family Services, Department of Health, Department of Workforce Services, and, of course, the Department of Education, is that they all have programs. They're all apparently pretty good programs, but they don't communicate or coordinate or work together with those programs. So we sent them off and asked them to talk for a little while about how they could go about working together better. They came back to a later committee meeting, and they said, yes, in fact, it would be possible for them to coordinate and to end up having more effective programs, potential cost savings, and a lot of other good things come of just talking to each other, but that they would effectively need a coordinator or a coordinating entity that would serve as the central liaison. So, Mr. President, this budget amendment provides for that opportunity. It's only $75,000, as you can see, in subpoint A for the biennium. Not a substantial amount of general funds to the Department of Family Services, where it will be coordinated. And the Family Services Department shall establish an agreement between the departments that I mentioned and just try to work on coordinating the services for early child learning and development. And, of course, then they will report back their implementation to the Joint Education and the Joint Labor, Health, and Social Services Interim Committees. Mr. Chairman, we had a lot of discussions about other possibilities with early childhood education. There was a general enthusiasm, and we had great testimony. But at this point, as a budget amendment, I hope we can support a first step towards it by just getting the agencies to work together and do what we hope they'll do. Thank you, Mr. President.
Any further discussion?
Question.
Question's been called. Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Anderson, District 2. Anderson, District 28.
No.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
No.
Burns.
No.
Case.
No.
Christensen.
No.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
No.
Kraft.
No.
Dockstader.
No.
Driscoll.
No.
Emmerich.
No.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
No.
Hines.
No.
Johnson.
No.
Landon. Meyer,
no.
Nicholas,
no.
Nutting excused, Perkins,
no.
Peterson,
no.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
no.
Scott,
no.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Ross.
No.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 8 ayes, 21 noes, and 1 excused.
Amendment number 49 has failed. The last amendment. Amendment number 55. Reading clerk will read the amendment.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 55, addition to 300 sections.
Senator Cooper.
Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 55 to Senate File 1, and I'm not sure that I have enough stamina to even do this, but I will try. If you've all had a chance, this has to do with providing some funding in the amount of $1.6 million, actually, for providing grants to school districts for the SRO, school resource officers, particularly to rural schools out there who have need these folks to be in their midst, because there are some of these schools are 25 to 35 minutes away from them. Law enforcement, they also would like to have some of this funding for so that these schools can be more secure. There's a list of things and requirements and priorities for this type of funding that I won't go through right now because I may fall asleep reading it. But if you would, Mr. Chairman, I'd appreciate your affirmative vote on this amendment.
Further discussion? Question's been called. Oh, I didn't see you. Senator Burns.
I'm sorry, it was just slow sitting down.
Question.
Question's been called. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson District 2.
Aye.
Anderson District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
No.
Bebout.
No.
Burns.
No.
Case.
No.
Christensen.
No.
Coe.
No.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstader.
No.
Driscoll.
No.
Amrick.
No.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
No.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
No.
Hines.
No.
Johnson. Landon,
no.
Meyer,
no.
Nicholas,
no.
Nutting excused, Perkin,
no.
Peterson,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
no.
Scott,
no.
Von Flatern,
no.
President Ross.
No.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 8 ayes, 21 noes, 1 excused.
Amendment number 55 has failed. Senate File 1, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Huh? Oh, I have to also read this. Pursuant to Joint Resolution 14-1B, third reading will begin the second legislative working day after second reading is completed. Which that means basically Friday. So there you go. I think that clears the desk, does it not? Oh, we got reports from standing committees.
February the 19th, 2014. Mr. President, your committee number 9, Minerals Business Economic Development, to whom was referred Senate File 97, Appropriation to Wyoming Business Council, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Anderson, Coe, Cooper, and Rothfuss. No, Senator Hines. Senator Hines, Chairman. February the 19th, 2014, Mr. Prenier, Committee Number 9, Mineral Business and Economic Development, to whom was referred Senate File 113, Task Force on Expansion of Natural Gas Service, recommends that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Anderson, J.D., O2, Cole, Cooper, Hines, and Rothfuss. Senator Hines, Chairman.
Is that it? Huh? Senator Hines.
Mr. President, Senate File 97 and Senate File 113, which was just read in, both have an appropriation, and I ask that they be referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations.
Senate File 97 and Senate File 113 will be re-referred to Committee Number 2 without objection. Is that it now? Mr. Majority Floor, that clears the desk.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that we resolve ourselves in the Committee of the Whole.
Aye.
I've already put it to vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
In that case, I move that we stand adjourned until 9:30 tomorrow morning.
Okay. Announcement. Senator Geis.
Mr. President, your committee number 5 will meet tomorrow night upon adjournment in S-15. This is the Ag, Water, and Resource Committee. We're going to take up House Bill 4, Pesticide Control Compact, House Bill 10, Engrossed Water Well Permits.
Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, will meet tomorrow. Thursday, February 20th at 8:30 a.m. in room S11 to consider the following re-referral. Senate File 11, Appropriation for the Legislature. Senate File 106, State Education Administration. Senate File 113, I don't know what the title is, and Senate File 97.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will not meet tomorrow.
Cool. Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 7, Corporations, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. to hear Senate File 80, Real Estate Licensure Revisions, Senate File 91, Digital Information Privacy Task Force, 8 a.m.
Any further announcements? Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. President, just a reminder, tomorrow is the salad by committee. We'll do that, or the staff does that at noon. And remember, the courtesy is that we allow those folks that have noon meetings to go first, and then we trample them.
Senator Bebout.
Mr. President, your committee number two appropriations will also meet tomorrow at 12:30 p.m. in room S11 to discuss the following House bills. House Bill 40, Engross State Employees and Officials Group Insurance Membership. House Bill 41, Emergency Medical Technician Pension Plans. And if we feel like it, House Bill 46, Public Employee Pension Plan Contributions. And House Bill 51, Engross Fireman Pension Plan Benefits.
Any further announcements? Hearing none, you've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion's carried. Senate stands adjourned until 9:30 tomorrow, February 20th.